some changes coming at the top of the Department of Veterans Affairs. A new leader coming in for the Veterans Health Administration next Wednesday. Dr. Carolyn Clancy will take over that position. The VA also says former Undersecretary for Health Dr. Jonathan Perlin is coming back to the agency as a senior advisor to Acting Secretary Sloan Gibson. These leadership changes detailed at federalnewsradio.com at this hour. And those leadership changes coming because of a trust issue, it appears, at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Bob Tobias is director of key executive leadership programs at American University. And he says performance issues at VA are in the public spotlight because of the problems at VA, but it's not just VA that should be paying attention. Bob, it's great to have you on the program. As always, I thought of you when I saw this New York Times report that all 470 of the VA's senior executives earned good performance ratings over the past couple of years, despite what we're learning about what's going on there now. What does that tell us, do you think, about the way that VA and probably other agencies rate people and the way that maybe they should rate people, Bob?
Well, I think, Francis, that when you look at that area that does the health benefits in VA and you focus on those folks, not VA in general, but there's a lot of evidence that there were significant problems that were unaddressed. And so the idea that all of those people received the kind of evaluations they received means that those who gave them those evaluations were not paying attention. And for me, that's reflected in the employee viewpoint survey, the annual employee viewpoint survey, that says only 28% of federal employees believe that poor performance is properly addressed in the federal government. And for me, if you're going to address poor performers, you don't start with the person who's sweeping the floor. You start with the leaders. You start at the top. And the Veterans Administration did not do that.
Is it fair to assume that the reason that it doesn't happen that way is because it's the most uncomfortable way to go about making those changes, Bob?
Well, I think it is uncomfortable. I mean, these are people who have been around for a long time. It's sometimes difficult to gauge their performance. But the fact of the matter is, particularly in this case, it was discoverable. It ought to have been discoverable. It ought to have been addressed, and it wasn't.
See, my sense of that number, and I don't mean to pick on VA, because I imagine if we looked at the numbers, and I imagine people will look at the numbers at other agencies across government, but when I read the New York Times report, my first thought was, wasn't anybody paying attention to this? Because at some point I would think somebody would look and say, wait, every single person is fantastic?
Right. No, it doesn't happen that every single person in Veterans Health Benefits was perfect or even close to perfect. And in fact, there was a lot of fraudulent activity taking place. That alone should have been a tell.
Yeah, I'm not even suggesting that someone should have looked at the numbers and said, wow, somebody must be doing something improper. But it doesn't, in my mind, bespeak something about the system or about individuals. It bespeaks something about the system that, you know, somebody somewhere in there had to get a one or a two, or at least deserve a one or a two, even though nobody got one.
I think that's correct. And the problem is, as I see it, that there will be another overreaction by Congress to the failure of a few to accurately evaluate those they lead. So we all know that in a group of 400, there are some small number who should be a one or a two as opposed to a five, and they didn't receive that. So as a result, who knows what Congress will do, but it won't be good, and it won't be respectful of those in the SES who work very hard and deserve those fours and fives.
Bob Tobias of American University. Yeah, that's where I wanted to go, is that one hopes that as you get higher up in the executive chain, and as part of getting higher up on the executive chain, normally people have been in an organization long enough to understand what top performance means, I've read all kinds of analyses that this should have been a bell curve or something like that. I don't think that makes any sense, Bob, because one hopes that as you get higher up the chain, folks stick around. Part of the reason they stick around is because they're good. So I could understand a system where even the weight on the fours and fives is much heavier than one might see in a general cross-section of the workforce population. But wow, that nobody saw that nobody got ones or twos out of 500 people it's amazing to me that nobody was looking at that.
Well, the other thing to look at is the best places to work in the federal government, and there are four questions in the leadership category that focus on GS-15s and above. And in that category, VA doesn't do very well, and the VA health benefits doesn't do very well. So that alone ought to be a tell that there are problems that go beyond the issue that's front and center in the public today. They don't do well. So if I'm in charge of VA, I want to know why they aren't doing well. I want to know why those four questions are at the level they are.
Why do you think we have seen such little progress over the past 4 or 5 years out of the results of the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey? The Partnership for Public Service comes on every year after they do their analysis of the numbers, and a lot of people say, we're going to pay attention to these numbers and we're going to do something about them. And some agencies make some progress. Some agencies make no progress. Some agencies lose ground. Why do you think that is, and why do you think that I'm not picking on any one agency in particular, I'm not picking on VA here, but of the people who choose not to do anything about it, why do you think it doesn't matter to them that much, Bob, when we turn around and have the kinds of situations like we find now at VA?
Well, I think the president actually has recognized that, OMB has recognized it, and I believe that they're in the process of attempting to hold political appointees and senior career leaders responsible for increasing the results, particularly with respect to senior leaders. We'll see. But without that focus, without that intense focus, they won't increase. And correspondingly, where there is the intense focus, as we see in some agencies, they increase their score. About a third of them increased their score last year when everybody else was falling in an environment that was very toxic for federal employees. These places went up, and I believe they went up primarily because the senior leaders paid attention.
I guess we can take some small sense of comfort, Bob, in the fact that there aren't a tremendous amount of federal employees voting with their feet and saying, I'm so dissatisfied with the way leadership goes at my agency, and I'm so dissatisfied with the way my agency handles poor performers that I am going to leave. We haven't seen this explosion that we've been anticipating for a very, very long time. Does that mean anything, do you think, if we read between the lines, or is that a separate issue, Bob?
Here's what I think. I think that if you want those you lead to maximize their productivity, then they have to be engaged with their first-line supervisor. They have to be engaged with their senior leader. And when that doesn't happen, their productivity is not what it could be. So in an environment where budgets are being cut, where there's increased pressure to produce, this, it seems to me, is a must. There must be a focus on increasing engagement and increasing productivity. And that's all reflected in these annual employee viewpoint survey and the analysis that the Partnership for Public Service does.
The engagement issue is something that I know agencies are working on. I had Mike Casey, the Chief Learning Officer at GSA, in the program, and he was talking about the importance of learning and training as part of an engagement issue and not just a workforce management and a skills management issue. So it does appear there are places around the government that are starting to get this, Bob. Is it a matter of small gains, like getting various leaders to understand that, or do you expect that this will only move forward in a dramatic way if there's some other kind of cataclysmic event, like another shutdown? I'm certainly not predicting it, and I'm certainly not hoping for it, but on the order of that magnitude to get people to say, wait a minute, we have to do what we're doing dramatically differently.
I think here's what I believe. It takes every person, every leader, to take responsibility for the impact of his or her behavior on those they lead. So it takes me to make a decision to say, to look at that data and say, these are the four or five things that I must do to increase the score. With my students, it takes them 15 minutes to identify the things they need to do. The same could be said, the same could be done by those who are in those senior leader positions, and then be held responsible for what the results are when the survey comes out next year.
Do we just think about this stuff too hard then, Bob? Is this paralysis by analysis that we're not able to get to solutions faster?
Well, there is an awful lot of, I think, unnecessary analysis and additional focus groups and what are really people really saying. I think as a leader, it's my responsibility to understand what people are really saying, and it's my responsibility to change my behavior in a way that will increase those scores.